heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, what could possibly be worse than a politician who outright lies to their constituents and to the American people? What could be possibly worse than that? I mean, is that the worst, or is that the worst, right? Well, I'll tell you what could be worse. The media, who does not report the politician lying, or who they themselves lie to cover up for the politician. And that is where we find ourselves, friends, when it comes to any of these stories here. And this one today goes right to the root of that. I want to read you a report from the Wall Street Journal, May 22nd of this year. And it says, in the good old days, if a member of Congress was caught in a major lie, knowingly misleading Congress and the American public, there were consequences. His own party would denounce him. The electorate would surely vote him out of office, but perhaps he would resign in disgrace beforehand. But not today. Representative Adam Schiff was playing to the base with a calculated lie, cheered on by fellow party members and supported by most of the media. He is a hero to some. There are not, nor will there be, consequences for him. How times have changed. Yeah, times have changed indeed. And of course, we talk about that all the time on the program and the network here, people, and where the media is in all of this. I mean, it is no secret. It's no secret to anybody. It's no secret to the right, the political right, but it's also no secret to the political left. In fact, they think it's a secret over there. They think it's their biggest kept secret, but of course it's not. And they know darn well what's happening here. And so then you got to ask yourself, well, what about the public? What about those, the citizenry? I mean, do they not get it? Are they not able to read between the tea leaves? Or where are these people? And why do they keep voting the same cast of characters in this particular case, like Schiff? Now, listen, Adam Schiff, I mean, he repeatedly claimed to have knowledge of direct, you remember all the reports, direct and ample. Those are the words he used, not me. But direct and ample evidence proven President Trump's campaign colluded with the Kremlin. Now, this was the original conspiracy to take the whole administration down. And of course, it's gone on from there to probably about 52 different scandals at this point that they've tried to pull on the administration, right? But direct and ample evidence, and you've seen him all the times on the camera and the microphone claiming this to his people, not only his citizenry in California there, the 28th District of California, but also the American public, right? Well, you know, here's the deal. Here's what the media thinks about Adam Schiff. Now, brace yourself for some of this. And I quote, Adam Schiff might be the most underestimated politician California has ever produced, says the Washington Post national security reporter, Greg Miller. And I quote, many in the GOP dismiss him as bland partisan, but the way he has handled impeachment will leave a mark on history, exceeding nearly all contemporaries. CNN chief legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin says, whose legal expertise, by the way, includes him claiming, and I quote, happy people don't obstruct justice. Trump's frustration at leaks and investigations are evidence of guilt, not innocence. And this was Schiff speaking, of course, that this is what he was saying. And the CNN went on to say that Schiff's presentation, it was dazzling, absolutely dazzling. MSNBC political analyst Richard Stengel says, when we get back to teaching civics in the country, as we must do, Adam Schiff's sweeping, beautifully wrought opening argument should be on the syllabus. Yeah. So, you know, you can't make any of that stuff up, people. I mean, these are a lot of the reports. And then, you know, you get back to that question I asked, are the people aware of this, or are they part of the conspiracy here, the citizenry, the people who vote? I mean, are they part of the scam, or do they really understand what's going on? And you wonder sometimes when you look at some of these. And here's the worst part of people like this and people like Pelosi and Feinstein, and the list goes on. You can from sea to shining sea, is while their own districts really are a disaster in so many ways, they're not busy working for the people in those districts. They're busy going after an administration. So in the meantime, the quality of life in those areas continues to plummet. And then you have to wonder that, well, there's got to be a breaking point to that, isn't there? When do those people stand up and say, well, you know what? We don't like what you're doing here, Mr. Schiff. And so we need a change. And that really is the impetus to this whole talk here today, people. So this is a series of talks we're doing on the Voice of a Nation, as you know, Transition to Greatness, which is really the words from President Trump, hashtag election 2020, right? Because that's what it's all coming down to this time. Today here, I want you to meet Eric Early. He's a congressional candidate, and his bid now is to unseat Adam Schiff. This is in the 28th Congressional District in Los Angeles County in California. And so we'll start there with Eric and bring him onto the program here. And Eric, so listen, I looked at your material and your background here. You're an attorney for 27 years. You're a patriot, father, businessman. You ran before for attorney general back in 2018, interestingly. So I think the first question people have to ask and probably is why. Why do you put your hat into the ring? Why do you run? And especially in a race like this, this is not going to be an easy race by any stretch. And it should be, but it's not. What's going on?
Well, Malcolm. First of all, Malcolm, thank you so much for having me. You got a great voice, man. That's a radio voice if I ever heard a radio voice. If you want to boil it all down, I'm running because I love this country dearly, and it makes me sick as to where I see these people on the far left taking us. Anybody who has studied history, don't have to be a scholar of history, knows something about American history, knows something about world history, and has general common sense, knows where the shifts of the world and the mainstream media and this far left people who've taken over the Democrat Party are taking our country, and it's not a good place. So, I mean, if you want to boil it down, that's why I got in the race. But just being a little bit more specific, I've been saying for a long time now that I believe we're in a battle of good versus evil in America. I firmly believe that. In the last month or so, it's showed up in all of our living rooms with these crazies, mostly white kids, tearing down statues, trying to erase history, talking about defunding cops, and really wanting to destroy the fabric of the nation. And that brings out the radical elements of other groups as well. And I saw that, and I live in the district here, California's 28th district, which is Schiff's district. As you had said briefly, I ran for office 2016 cycle against Javier Becerra, the attorney general out here. First time I ever ran for election. I got almost 1 million votes statewide. It was an incredible experience. I met a lot of great people. I've got a blessed life. I run a great law firm. I've got a great family. I don't need politics. But I'm out here in the district, and I'm watching, as Schiff would get on TV every minute, exaggerating a bit, talking about how President Trump had colluded with Russians to get elected. And I knew the guy was lying to my face, meaning Schiff, and I took it personally. I didn't see anybody that had what it takes to step up against him. I spoke to my family, I spoke to my political folks, and I jumped in the race last July, which was before the impeachment hoax, and I'm going against him. I'm doing whatever I can to go against him. He's a national disgrace. Schiff is a liar, he's a leaker. He is everything you described and more in your introduction. And yes, the wind behind him is the mainstream media. really despicable people. Some of the names you named, Greg Miller, Jeffrey Toobin, Richard Stengel, those are three complete morons. And they don't realize that they fit into a category I refer to as highly intelligent morons. They have no instincts, and they, you know, they've been convinced that by their colleagues, their friends, and whoever else out there, that the president is a bad person, and they've turned the media into, they've weaponized the media. The mainstream media has been weaponized for so long now, but it's so bad now, and it's been weaponized to destroy a presidency. Yeah. And I voted for the president. I'm not happy about it.
Listeners know that my antenna went up, probably theirs did as well, when you talked about good versus evil, Eric, because that's exactly the mantra and the theme of The Voice of a Nation, the program on right now. This is why this show...
I didn't even know that, Malcolm.
I know you didn't.
I've been saying that probably for the last 5-6 years.
Well, a lot of good people are, buddy. A lot of good people are, because they get the fight. No, you get the fight when you say that. And I just want you to know, this is really the place where we talk about good versus evil. When I launched The Voice of a Nation, those were, in fact, we rallied around that argument for those first few shows. So listen, the bottom line is we get it. You get it. I want listeners to know that. We understand what the fight is here. It's not a local little fight. This is a big fight of good and evil. And we have to be up to the challenge, because there's a lot of evil out there, and a lot of people that are associated with other evil cast of characters, and the Marxists are moving fast now, and the evil all around that Marxist movement. See, the country doesn't know what's really happening right now. They're not really attuned. They're a little in that sleep mode still from COVID business. You know, everybody was shocked that we locked the whole damn country down and that whole thing happened. And they're still sort of, some of them are sleeping, and we need to wake the country. We need to get out loud, and we need to wake the country the hell up here. So that's important to say. And then you draw out some really interesting comparisons here. So here's the thing I'm seeing, Eric, here. I listen to you now. You're a businessman, and you're an entrepreneur, really, and you're an attorney, and you're all of those things. Okay, cool. Now, Trump really set the establishment on fire. In fact, that was the program I did yesterday, was all about the establishment and why the deep state is running so hard. And what's happened is they don't like outsiders, because you're an outsider. You're not an insider. Yeah. You're an outsider to the system. And I can see where you're, we're waiting for people like you. The country is waiting for you, Eric, for people like you in California to stay up and stand up and say, you know what, we're not going to have this anymore. This is enough. We need to take this state back. And so there's some encouragement there when I read your story, and I said, well, here's a guy that's just like Trump, and it's just like others that are trying to take it back. Isn't that the case?
Malcolm, you're right on the money, man. Listen. In California here, I've been saying now that we're in a leaderless state. We have this Governor Newsom. We have here in Los Angeles this Mayor Garcetti, and then we have my opponent Schiff. These are three spineless chamberlains. All they will do is say whatever is politically correct for the moment. They have all gotten on their knees to the violence, the looting, and the anarchists that we've seen the last few weeks. They have all said what they believe they've needed to say. And all these politicians do is say what they say, because they do what they do because they think it's going to keep them in office forever. They've all been in office their entire adult lives. And, you know, one of the things that I respect so much and I like so much about our president is he came from outside this system. And the fact that they're trying to destroy him because he comes from outside just fuels my fire even more. So, yeah, we need more outsiders. Malcolm, I'm sure you know just from what you've been saying, you know, the founders created our country for people not to be in politics forever, for people to come out from the private sector, bring their expertise into government, do what they can to help the people, help the nation, to be public servants, not to treat the people as their servants. And then they get the heck out of government.
That's it.
And so I am fighting that fight. Yeah, we need leaders to step up again. We need people. This is not a time, and Malcolm, I know just from what you said, this is not a time with all of this stuff going on, with this internal effort within our borders to take over our nation for these double-talking, triple-talking, politically correct liars, and Adam Schiff is Exhibit A of that, who have no convictions whatsoever, and the only thing that drives them is to stay in politics and stay in charge of all of us and to try and increase their political stature in life. This is no time for those kind of people to be in power. And so, you know, and the good thing, Malcolm, is, and the good thing for your listeners to hear, I talk about people all around the district here. I oftentimes call this the belly of the beast because it is Los Angeles. But I tell you, I'm getting a lot of support from people out there. You can't read about it. You can't hear about it. Mainstream media will never say anything about it. But people are fed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what we have to hope. And I want to talk about that more. And let me just tell you, Eric, that there is some hope in as people now hear you and hear your voice and your story. And I'm already a fan and listen to you talk. But let me tell you, I had on the other day here on the program another gentleman very much in the same capacity as you, never ran for really political office. He's from the private side. And although you had that one shot with the AG, but that was really a good thing because it allowed you to get the playing field and to get your feet on the grass there, you see, to see how it, you got to get involved in the game. You can't stay on the sidelines is what I tell people all the time. But here's the thing. We talked to, out of Georgia, the gentleman you, I'm sure you're aware of, Dr. Rich McCormick. And Dr. Rich McCormick, he's an emergency room doctor. He's running in Georgia District 7, just endorsed by President Trump, by the way. And he was on the, but it, the point I'm saying here is, we need more people like Rich and like you who are from the private side of our nation to be able to run, as you just said, what the framers envisioned. That really is what the framers envisioned. But Eric, we've been lost so much from that. And a lot of people are asking me every day, how do we get term limits? How do we get these people in and out of office? What do you think about that?
A big supporter of term limits. This character I'm running against, he's been in this same office for 20 years.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. And in that 20 years, oh, by the way, he's completely abandoned our district. And but for and you know, in that 20 years, up until 3 years ago, nobody even knew who this guy was. And then he got a severe case of Trump derangement syndrome, and now everybody knows who he is. So hopefully the voters, now that they've seen across the aisle, I mean, Republicans, I'm getting tremendous support, of course, from Republicans, conservatives. I'm trying to break away moderate Democrats and those no party preference people. That's what the independents.
That's what it takes right
here.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. To support me. But I'm a big fan of term limits. Adam Schiff is exhibit A of what happens when you don't have term limits.
Well, they all are. I mean, you come right down the list. I mean, I don't care if you talk about whoever. I mean, Pelosi, but also McConnell and McCarthy. And I'm talking both Republican and Democrat. They all need to be in term limit mode.
I'll tell you, Malcolm, I have issues with people on all sides of the aisle, not just Democrats.
As you should.
And I'll tell you, right now, it's another thing. You have the president out there saying what needs to be said about the internal attempt to take over of our country. Mm-hmm. And but for, I don't know, one, two Republicans, I don't hear any Republican elected officials coming up and having the guts and taking the chance that they may not get reelected if they say it, to come out and forcefully support the president and what he's saying.
Yeah.
That's a problem with the Republican Party. Forget the Democrats. We know what they're going to do. They're just a bunch of socialist retreads at this point, moving on the way to communism. But where are Republicans to support this president?
Well, that's a question, my friend, that our listeners ask every day, where Americans ask, and it is a big question. Let me tell all listeners now, we're speaking to Eric Early, who is running against Shifty Schiff there in the 28th district, congressional district of California. And, you know, people say to me all the time, well, California's lost. Eh, California's, you know, whatever. But, you know, people, I'll say this, we have got to start somewhere to be able to take this beautiful state back. It is such a it really is a beautiful place to be and play out there. I always love to be out in California. Have a lot of great friends in California. But, you know, it is part of our nation. It is part of these United States, and we need to stand up and fight for California and not let it go. As you know, I spoke a couple of weeks ago to Aja Smith out there, who's running for Congress as well. And we need to give the spotlight back to incredible people who can make a difference. And then we've got to really push hard because we've got to turn this whole whole media narrative around, basically. So a lot of things come to my mind I want to ask Eric about next. And one of the things is this, you know, Schiff gets a lot of support in that area, in that district here. You do wonder why people, and you say, you know, back to what I said earlier with the quality of life, it really befuddles me how any of these cats get reelected time and again when they're doing such a piss poor job in their communities. You just have to wonder, as I said to you even yesterday on the program, don't these people want the same quality of life we do? And they actually do. They actually do. That's the thing about it. And as I told you yesterday as well, this isn't really, and we'll see if Eric agrees with this or not here. This is not about Republican really versus Democrat. I don't really see it as that. And although he hit the nail on the head moments ago when he talked about good and evil, I love to always talk about that talk, you know. But it really is about Americans versus the establishment. That's what we're talking about. And he also hit the nail on the head, Eric did, when he talked about getting to the moderates, the independents, the middle of the aisle. That's exactly where. And so let's reframe the fight here so we can pull our brothers and sisters in from the left side of the aisle to get a better America. And to do that, people, we're not going to get there to offend them and to pull them down and make this Republican-Democrat fight the main fight. It really has to be, I really believe this. It's got to be Americans versus the establishment. And friends, well, that is both Democrats and Republicans. Those are people that are corrupt and part of the system, systematic beltway political system that needs to be torn apart limb from limb. And, you know, when you say that, I can hear the framers in my ears applauding that line just there to say, you damn well know it, Malcolm. Let's do it, man. That's where we're at, people, and that's what's got to be done. We'll pick it up again in just after a quick pause here with Eric Early, who hopefully will be the next congressman from California. We pray to God Almighty. Back in just a moment.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, healthycell.com/sleep.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Transition to greatness, hashtag election 2020. Well, that's what we're talking about. And my role here is very simple. It's to spotlight conservative candidates throughout our nation. I don't make any bones. It's not a secret. That's my obligation. That's my responsibility. And why do you ask? Well, because I am central to the fight of good versus evil. And so that's what I believe. That's where I'm at. And that's what we're doing in order to take our great nation back. We have to start right there to remind everybody not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. They are very successful at pitting American against American. They've done it very successfully, as I said to you, in the last many days, with man against woman, with their Me Too movement, with black against white, with their racism claims, right? With political system of Republican versus Democrat, with the elites versus poor and the homelessness. This is what they do so well with the Marxists, the Socialist Democrat Party of America, who is needs to be dismantled and put away and bring back the party of JFK if we can ever find it again. That's really where we're at, people here. All right, so let's bring back on Eric Early here, who's running against this shifty shift guy here. And I got to tell you something, Eric. I noticed one of your videos in your feed on somewhere it was sent to me. I don't know where it was run, but, and it was, I chuckled and about really fell on the floor with it. And so let me just set this up for folks. It's a video and you're playing in the background. And I got to ask you if that's you singing in the background, Sweet Caroline from the great Neil. Was that you or was that someone else?
Well, dare I say it, it was me, buddy.
I love it. I said to myself after I heard that, and I'll tell you seriously, I listened to that and I said, that's got to, that's, oh yeah, no. I said, that's got to be Eric. That's got to be Eric. So let me tell people what's going on here, because this is very cool. So he's on the balcony of his home, people, okay? And he's running this magnificent video all over Los Angeles County in our beautiful, beloved country here, you know, celebrating our birth and our 244-year birthday. And he's got here, L.A. Mayor, fireworks are banned, and you can be fined up to $50,000. Wow. And the L.A. residents he has below that. Okay. And then he says, I filmed this from my balcony. The American spirit will not be stopped by tyrants. And what a beautiful video that is. And if you go get that on social media or his website, in fact, you'll find him singing a little version himself of Sweet Caroline by the great Neil Diamond. Yeah, Eric?
You got it, man. That's on Twitter at my Twitter feed, Eric Early _. And please go check it out. And that was an incredible evening to stand out here and to watch what was going on out there. All these great Americans here in Los Angeles, the silent majority, who are so fed up with these tyrants out here telling us how to live and what we can do and what we can't do and what we couldn't do on July 4th. You know, you had Garcetti, the mayor, saying, don't shoot off fireworks. And what was going on July 4th, the evening in Los Angeles, was incredible. Take a look at that video. I've seen, you know, a lot of July 4ths from here, but it had never been as, let's say, as explosive as the other.
Has Garcetti or Newsom come out and said anything about that since that happened?
You know, I've not heard a word. Listen, people are done with them. People, these are not leaders, like I told you. And Schiff is their buddy. It's the big, it's the three-headed beast. These are people that all think, they've all said at one time or another they want to be president. They all think they're auditioning to be president. They've all failed their audition with handling things during the COVID crisis and everything else. They are more of the same, Malcolm. Politically correct wannabes, want to stay in power forever, do not have the guts or the character to say what needs to be said in America. This mayor here in Los Angeles is a travesty. We had those riots out here. I don't know what your folks saw around the country, but out here it was on TV all the time. Our law enforcement was incredible. They are standing up to having bricks thrown at them, rocks thrown at them, water bottles thrown at them, metal bars thrown at them, maniacs running up into their face, threatening to, you know, assault them. And these cops held their ground, amazing restraint. And what was their reward from this Mayor Garcetti? We all wake up a couple days later to find out Garcetti has agreed to take $150 million of our taxpayer money to away from the Los Angeles Police Department and give it to these groups. None of us know what groups he's giving it to. They all have sweet-sounding names from what I've heard. We don't know who's behind it. I guarantee at least 80% of that money will be used against all of us. And, oh, by the way, I'm a taxpayer out here. I, like most of the like all the taxpayers out here, never gave permission for this. This is a perfect example of the Newsoms, Garcettis, and Schiffs. They are chamberlains. They are kneelers. They pay ransom, And Malcolm, I know you know what I'm about to say, but anytime you show weakness to these evil ones, they just come back even stronger and harder the next time. We got to be tough on these people,
Eric,
because they are evil. Yeah.
There are a lot of people who have left California, a lot of good people. We have people on our network, by the way, and shows and hosts and people who loved California. We're born in California, Eric, lived in California with beautiful businesses, and then, you know, the taxes went sky high and, you know, gas was double the price of a gallon, which you could buy it in other areas of the country. The quality of life and the homelessness and the streets and the needles and the crap on the streets. And the, as you just addressed, the policies of Gavin Newsom, the governor. But there's a history of this decline that's been plummeting for the quality of life of Californians. I think the real question that a lot of other Americans are asking is this, my friend, is, why? Why have Californians allowed this beautiful state to go in such decline? Why are they, do they continue to elect? Why is it such a Democrat stronghold? Why do they continue to elect this cast of characters to high office?
You know, that's a great question. First of all, just on a positive note, California is the most beautiful state, I think, in the union. I've seen a lot of states. This is a gorgeous state. This really is paradise in so many ways. It's the political class that is destroying it. And California has so many, still has so many great citizens in it. You know, I speak often, at least before COVID, I spoke to crowds of people often. And when I was running for attorney general, I spoke up and down the state. And we have great Americans. We have great patriots. We have great people up and down this state who, again, it's a silent majority, and I'm talking about from all races, creeds, colors, sexual orientation, great Americans who the mainstream media will never let you know about. So you ask why. Listen, you have this blanket of mainstream media out here. In my town, you have the Los Angeles Times. It's run by a bunch of socialist retreads. It's their narrative, the message they push, the intentional brainwashing they're doing on the people, just follows the narrative of keeping these reprobates in power that we have here. San Francisco Chronicle, the same thing. Other papers, all the local media are the same way here. So you combine that with many people who, unfortunately, you know, most people, Malcolm, are not like us. They don't follow this political stuff closely. And it's amazing to see. So we have this blanket over us that is keeping the people down. But more and more, the people are being able to see through what is going on with everything from wildfires caused by Democrat policies to this COVID lockup, which is pissing people off all across the board, which is run by this Democrat cabal, on and on. But let me give the other people, the people of the nation, a good example of how things work out here. But before I do that, and let me just say this, I firmly believe the worm is going to turn out here because of all the good things I just told you, all the people that are in this state who people around the country don't know about. Worm's going to turn out here. We're going to take back this state. I don't know exactly when, but more and more people are stepping up like me and speaking up, and there's only so much they can keep our voices silent because we will not be shut up by these people on the left, and there's nothing more that they hate, as you know, Malcolm, than people like me, people like you, people like others here who are coming up and saying, you're not going to shut us down. We're going to say exactly what's going on. But let me give you an example of how they have control over this state. We had a fellow who's involved in Republican politics in San Diego area named Carl DeMeo. Carl is a buddy of mine. He supported me in my race for Attorney General. He's got a big radio program. Carl got on the ballot in the last election a gas tax repeal that would repeal anywhere from a gas tax increase on each gallon of gas from about 20 to about 60 cents per gallon. You would think that would be a natural. He managed to get that proposition on the ballot for all the people to vote on. Getting a proposition on the ballot out here is incredibly difficult. I won't go through the details. He did it. So there it is. The people went to the polls 2 years ago and could have voted if they supported the repeal, this 20 cent to 50 cent per gallon or 60 cent per gallon tax would be banned in California.
Let me guess. Hold on. Let me guess. Yeah. But what happened is the media spun it the other way.
You're definitely heading there. It wasn't just the media. At that point, it was Jerry Brown, and they got who was the governor. They got millions in Democrat donors to fuel a TV commercial campaign, and it was all about how if you pass this, if you agree to this and vote for this, our roads will be unsafe. Not only that, but it's the attorney general out here that does the ballot and title summary, meaning the short little paragraph you see when you go to the polls to vote. And most people don't really follow these propositions too much. The only thing, you know, we know about is we go to the polls, we read the blurb, and okay. And so what is this this fellow Becerra, who's the attorney general, what is his group write, the person I was running against? He doesn't mention one word about how it's going to be a tax increase, how it's going to be extra money. All it says is, if you vote yes for this, you will make our roads unsafe. And so, I mean, it's a little bit more than that, but that was the gist of it. So between millions of dollars of TV commercials that were paid for by special interests who get money from the government, and this false and misleading ballot and title summary, people go to the thing, they say, I don't want unsafe roads, boom, vote no. What they didn't realize they were voting for, the good people of California, was, yes, please put 20 to 50 cents on each gallon of my gas. And this is the way they keep control. And the mainstream media supported that entire narrative. So, of course, the gas has been taxed since then, and everybody's getting hit by those taxes out here on the gas. And, of course, as the whole repeal effort said, the money that comes in, the billions of dollars, is not going to be going into fixing roads anyhow, because this state is so in debt, this money always goes in and disappears into the massive California debt. That's what happened. No money's being used to fix these roads, or very little of it. So you ask, how do we keep voting like this? It's that kind of, you know, group pressure. But I'll tell you, Malcolm, more and more of us, like I said, are stepping up, and there's only so long I believe people going
to
take.
Eric, what you're saying is so important, and a couple of thoughts back to you, brother. And let me give you an example. Dr. Ron Martinelli and Linda Martinelli lived in California all their lives. They've recently, a couple of years back recently, but moved to Texas now and have a home out there. They couldn't take it anymore. They had very successful businesses out there. They were being taxed from here to kingdom come. They say they still have, they're back in California frequently enough because they still have a lot of contacts and business relationships there and so on and so forth. And every time they drive on the roads there to get there, Eric, they know when they're coming into California because it turns into one big pothole. There's nothing but the roads are falling apart. And so they're not taking it. But that's a problem we're having in our great country in a lot of areas. The infrastructure is going to hell because the political elite, aka the establishment, is not focused on quality of life for our people. They're focused on the power, which you pointed out very well in the last segment, the power that they can seek and grab onto. The media, they are beyond, I mean, it's gone. I mean, we've talked about it. We jostled about it over the past few years, but it's in a serious decline now. And the Fourth Estate is dead. It is long gone again. And here we are, and they're reporting this agenda that is so untrue. And I knew what had happened with that gas thing. I didn't know what had happened, but I knew hearing you talk what happened, because what they do is they're very good at spinning the argument to some other total, bait and switch sort of thing, where it has nothing to do with the, and when you talk about a gallon of gas in California, Eric, most of the money you're paying for is to power the fat cats. It's all taxes and all baloney and garbage on top of garbage. It's not the cost of gas that's the problem. It's all the big government that's attacked the gas that is the problem, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so there you go. And your perfect example about the media is spot on, I have to tell you. All right, Eric, let's talk about this race in the district now with Schiff. So here's the thing. In looking at his numbers in the past, in looking at him over a period of time, I mean, this guy is up in the 70% range of being able to pull the vote in that district. It's alarming. He is like a cult figure in that district, and it is a Democrat stronghold, and they do play to political ideology. Listen, you just heard me coming into this segment here, my friend, talking about the fact that you know, we can't really pit Republican against Democrat. You see, Republicans do that a lot in conservatives. We pit against the other. And I get the reason and the why, but I really got to convince more people. And do you agree with this is my question to you, that it really is us as Americans against the establishment. Isn't that the real fight we got to take here?
I very much agree with it, Malcolm. And listen, you know, Ronald Reagan once said that, because he was a Democrat, right? He said he didn't leave the Democrat Party. He said the Democrat Party left him. I was a Democrat, and then Ronald Reagan became president, and I didn't leave the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left me, and that's when I became a Republican. And one thing I say to a lot of folks out here, I don't criticize people as to how they are registered, whether they're registered as a Democrat and no party preference. What I talk to them about is just that same thing. Their political leaders have left them. And so many of the people that are registered as Democrats out here and or those who lean Democrat who are no party preference, the Democrat political structure has left them. We have a Democrat political structure, as you well know, who could care less about law and order, who supports defunding cops, which is the most outrageous thing I've heard in a long time. I support increasing funding to law enforcement, frankly, and I say it all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, these are the people that I have to break apart because, yes, Schiff has just walked into office for many years, but frankly, he's never run into anything like me. I know the folks that ran against him the last couple cycles, nice people, but they just didn't really have what it takes to go against this evil SOB and Adam Schiff, you know, and
that's
like
a tall
said,
order.
A
what
earlier,
you're talking there, though, in that district. I mean, how are you making
this? This is a very tall order. Let me tell you what we're doing. First of all, we've got this great national fundraising campaign going on. We're getting in donations, small donations from all around America. We've gotten about 15,000 small donations, or a donation of all sizes, from $5 up to, I mean, the highest you can go is $2,800. We get a lot of $50, we get a lot of $25, get a lot of $45, we get some hundreds here and there, and even more. And people cannot stand my opponent, and as you know, it takes money to win these elections because we're going to need to pay for the. I mean, I've got a great campaign team around me. It's not just me. I got experts in all those areas that you need on a campaign. We're saving up our money for traditional advertising, which are the TV commercials, which are the most costly things, you know, this guy. Can be beaten. We talk to people. We hear anecdotal stories from people. People who tell us, "Listen, I've voted Democrat my whole life, but I cannot stand Adam Schiff, and I'm going to vote for Eric Early." So, anything's possible. Yeah, I want to debate this guy very badly. I've called him out many times to debate me. We've reached out to the League of Women Voters out here. Whatever it takes to get this guy to debate me. You know, Malcolm,
so what's the story on that? How do you get a debate?
We have not gotten a word back yet. No candidate has to guarantee a debate for anybody else. Mm-hmm. This guy Schiff, I will dismantle this guy in a debate. I will dismantle him. Mm-hmm. All right? And I want to debate him as much as possible. And we'll see what happens. But, you know, we're doing everything possible to get the word out here. You know, another really cool thing is, I have now gotten 3 radio shows out of this. I am now a radio host on 3 different radio
stations. You know, I wanted to ask you about that. I seen that. You were on a – and I listened to a little bit of it earlier here. You're very good at it. I thought you were solid. So what's up? Is that a new thing or have you been doing that? That's brand new then. That's not a long time
career. It's all brand new. It started 2 months ago. I never thought about being a radio host in my life. I mean, I do a lot of interviews like this, and I do a bunch of TV interviews. You know, One American News has me on frequently. Mm-hmm. They're fabulous. But out of the blue, 2 radio stations approached me a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And so I'm the host of those 2 shows. And now, believe it or not, I've got a 3rd one starting.
Now, are these all connected or are they all individual shows?
They're all individuals. One is on KRLA AM, which is Salem Radio out here. Okay. They get a big audience. Yeah. I'm going to be starting on KABC AM on this coming Sunday evening, weekly shows, and then I've got a national digital cable one on CRN Talk Radio. And so we are able to get the word out here, notwithstanding the blanket of the mainstream media to try and keep these shifts in permanent power. So,
yes.
You know, there's a lot of stuff going on.
There's other show you have here. I want to tell people the early edition is on AM 870, right? That's the one that I listened to there. That's really good. I mean, you sounded good there. This could be a whole new career for you, buddy.
Thank you. Well, you know, I've got a great career running my law firm. I do like talking. I think you can hear that. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of opinions. I got a lot of very strong convictions, mm-hmm. and I love our country. You know, my dad was in the Marines. He fought in North Korea, and you know when he got a Purple Heart, and you know when you're the son of a Marine. And who saw combat especially, he was very intense, and that stuff rubs off on your kids. And he and my mom instilled in me a great and abiding love for America, and to watch what is going on now and not step up and do something about it, I had to do that. So yeah, the radio shows give me a great outlet in this time. Malcolm, you know what it's like. You have so much to say, and people have, you know, we can't let them shut us down. So I'm very humbled and grateful to have been given those shows. Mm-hmm. I've got the early edition on KRLA. Right. I've got the early reporting from the belly of the beast on CRN Talk Radio, which anybody mm-hmm. can get on their internet. CRN, and then on KABC starting at the end of the week, it's going to be called The Latest with Eric Early, because that shows at 8 p.m. at night.
Well, you come across well, I think, and I think people can relate to you. And, you know, the good thing about it, Eric, is I think it works hand in hand with the seat you're running for, because it really is about getting information out to the public, as you said just very well just a bit ago here. We've been stifled and silenced. Really across our great nation. And I mean, obviously you feel that and you're passionate about it, which is why, number one, you're taking on this momentous moment of running against shift here in the 28th district, but also all of these programs you're doing, it's about getting the voice out there. What do you think in that district when it comes to the constituency there in that district? How do they feel with shift? I mean, what kind of quality of life, and how has that held up or not? I mean, what's it like there on the ground there is what I'm asking you, and how do people really feel about that?
Well, we have a homelessness epidemic out here that is it would shock the conscience of most Americans if they saw this. In the city of LA alone, we have approximately 50,000 people living on the street. There are homeless encampments all over the place. Where I'm sitting and talking to you now from, my own home, you go a quarter mile down the road, there is a major homelessness encampment. This is all over the city. When Schiff started doing this job and that he's got now, we had no homelessness problem. Schiff never did a damn thing about it. He could care less about people living and dying on the streets. But people are getting more and more upset about it. Not only are they upset for the lives of the people who are living on the street, they're upset from their own quality of the people's own quality of life. This stuff is moving into neighborhoods. There are health issues. I've been talking about the health issues for years, and then of course COVID came, and if you want to talk about that, I can get into the connection between COVID and homelessness, which I find fascinating. But so we have that issue. I have plans and ways I want to deal with that. Crime is on the rise, and that was even before our mayor and Schiff, his buddy Schiff, and the governor up here all decided to take a stand with Black Lives Matter and defund our cops. Infrastructure problems, huge. I could go on and on. So there are problems on the ground here. And then, of course, we have major increasing unemployment and so many businesses that have gone under or are teetering on the verge of going under because of COVID. And, we need a congressman again out here who actually cares about the people of this district, who is not somebody who runs to Washington to try and destroy a president, a duly elected president, who could care less about the district. You know, I've been a practicing attorney for 27 years. We do business litigation all around the country. We're a nationally recognized firm. I manage a managing partner at a law firm. We represent all the stakeholders, examples of all the stakeholders in our district, from big business, small businesses, employees, workers groups, independent contractors, realtors, builders, contractors, you name it. And I'm the only one that has what it takes and much less the desire to do it, to roll up my sleeves from the day I'm elected to work with all the stakeholders to rebuild from COVID and deal with these major problems out here. So what do people think about it? Listen, so many people, you go from the spectrum from moderate Democrats to no party preference to Republicans, and they support what I'm talking about here. There's also another issue, AB5, which I could get into if you want to. Big issue out here. But we do have, and this is the way they drew up this district, we have a lot of people on the far left that just cannot stand the president. So they think Schiff walks on water purely.
Well, and talking about drawing up the district, what has happened there, Eric, is that because they're so entrenched in the socialist left politics, they've actually got a lot of, I would call it, booby traps around, like the one you just said. But also you've got the motor voter thing where, as I understand, and correct me on this, when you go in as a young kid and you get your license, you're automatically, they put a D on there. You don't even, is that correct? You don't even ask for it. You're automatically put into the Democrat unless you tell them otherwise. Is that what I understand?
You know, there are rumors about that, but the stronger sort of rumors and the ones that are even more troubling. Yes, when you go and you register at DMV for a license, you are automatically registered to vote. Whether they put a automatic D or a D on there or not, I'm not sure about that. But what you have a big problem with out here is in California, if you're a legal immigrant, you can also register for and get a driver's license. And even though there should not be that bleed through of illegal immigrants automatically being registered to vote as well, we're quite sure that is happening out here. We have a Secretary of State out here as part of this Democrat, this Democrat group just running our state in the Politburo up there is what I call it. He is the one, the Secretary of State, that's supposed to be watching and monitoring things like I just talked about. Mm-hmm. He could give a damn less. He wants as many of these people to be voting Democrat as possible. And so we're very concerned that we have many illegal immigrants who have automatically been registered to vote out here as well. It's one of many problems. There's ballot harvesting. They will do everything possible to increase the potential for voter fraud out here. The Democrats have no scruples whatsoever when it comes to that stuff. Yeah. And, this is the kind of stuff we're fighting.
Yeah, well, we ask all the time, when are the people going to say uncle? When are they going to have enough? You lay out a very compelling case right there. Right? I mean, that maybe this is the time. I mean, or maybe we've got to start somewhere. And that's part of my conversation. Eric, your website is ericearly.com. Is that right?
Yes, sir. ericearly.com. Folks, please go to it, look at it, read about me, press the donation button, make a donation. There's three ways you can donate, either right there on the computer. The money goes straight to my campaign treasurer up in Sacramento, and we care about your donations like it's our own money. We respect our donors tremendously. We know how hard you work. Or there's a way to do it by phone, or a way to do it by mail. If you do it by computer, you can also put in comments, and I read all your comments. And I get prayers, I get support, I get things said about Schiff from all around America, and I'll tell you, it just helps energize me and fuels my campaign.
Yeah, no, I can see that, Eric, and, I'll tell you something else here. I'll make a prediction. Listen to you now for the first time and hear you talk and your passion, and it's more than just passion, it's also determination that I hear in your voice, and it's even more than that. It's at the point where and I think just what we've been hoping for is that people like you will finally stand up and say, you know, we can't have any more of this. And we're going to have to take a stand, because there is no other option. Because after this, where does the state really go when you see the decimation of the quality of life out there and what's happened? But I want to make a prediction to you now, Eric, and to listeners, that, you know, just a gut feeling in hearing you today here. And whatever's going to happen with this race will happen. And I certainly hope and pray that the California people, the citizens of California District 28, get involved and really hear your message and your passion. But I would predict beyond that, I would not be surprised at all to see a future governor, Eric Early. You sound to me like the kind of candidate who is that determined to take the fight to the people, and your passion for the state, I think there's the turning point we need to talk about to bring California back from the edge of a Marxist state. I mean, it's a state of consciousness, but it's also a state of Marxism that we find that they are in. So that's what's got to change out there. And it comes back to all of quality of life, the homelessness, as you say, but even basic things of the economics. But in order to do that, we gotta change the spin. The media spin is all over this thing. And that's the problem people were having out there. A lot of people say to me, well, you know, why do you bother with California? Because they're, you know, the state's gone. They've given up on it, in other words. Or only bring on people on the program here. It's been said to me many times, of people who can win. That is said to me all the time, actually, from even strong Republican voices would say to me, just bring those people on. Don't bring the others on. You're wasting your time. Just the people that Trump has endorsed who can do X, Y, or Z. But then I question back, if we don't start to move on this people, if we don't make a stand, if we don't get behind some of these people, how are we ever going to turn the tide back? I mean, we have to give the time of day to these kinds of races. You know, whether you think they are beatable or not, you know, and listen, stranger things do happen. You don't get, let's not get smug with ourselves here thinking we have it all figured out. Trump was never going to be the 45th president either. That was a long shot from here to you know where, correct? Yeah, exactly. And yet look what happened there. And look what will happen in 2020 as we turn the tide again here, the red tide, if you will, here. Well, listen, Eric Early deserves your support and your donations as well. EricEarly.com is where you'll find more of the information. I mean, you hear the passion. He obviously sounds like a no-nonsense kind of guy, and you can hear that in his background and the history of him of being, you know, a businessman, an entrepreneur, an attorney, somebody who understands justice, understands the importance of justice. And that's something we need so badly in our nation right this very moment, people. So get behind Eric Early and let's see what we can have. We cannot give up on this state. We cannot give up on any state. It is 50 United States of America. And we need to fight for every last vote. And we need to turn the tide here, people. And that's going to be most important. So to my Republican friends and more so our conservative friends, I would say, let's get behind these races that are vitally important. If we don't start now, today, and start to turn that tide, when will we start? And when is it too late? And I think the people of California are crying out for justice. The problem is they're not hearing the cries from the media. We need to change that, people. America Out Loud is on the move. We are on the move. We have a large audience in California. We're happy to have them here and listen to the program here. And we want to encourage you to tell people about America Out Loud. I say there at the top of the platform, they are spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. And I want Eric to hear that. And sea to shining sea. Well, that means California is where that other sea is. Doesn't start in Nevada. My message always, people, is here we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. So that all happens back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Friends, we need you back there sharing the Out Loud truth and being part of the big story here. Big thank you to Eric Early here and wishing him great success out there in California. And we will talk again. We will absolutely have Eric's voice back on the program here. Friends, time to get engaged. It's time to get involved and get loud.